Hello, friends. It's been a while, but we are back. It's the Clubhouse live on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com, and we are back in business for the first show of 2024. I'm Rob Adams. This alongside of me, if you're watching on Facebook Live, is my friend of 1.5 billion years, Mark Jeffers.
Well, you know, Rob, I've actually gotten a little younger as each year goes by.
I can tell.
But I want to say a quick big cheer for our, this is the Clubhouse's 21st season, believe
it or
not.
That is correct.
I know. So round of applause for that huge audience out there.
Woo!
All righty. So, yes, how are things?
Things are well.
Oh, that's good to hear. He's watching us. He's not even paying attention.
He's not paying attention.
It's okay.
I'm wondering where the sound is coming from, and it's coming from Dave's phone.
It's from Dave. He wants to be introduced faster than usual. So you know what?
No.
I'm gonna. If he wants to keep playing that, we're gonna do that. So, sitting to my left is Mr. Dave Tromeo, who's been with us for almost as many years as Rob and I. So welcome back to the Clubhouse, David.
Yeah. I don't know where Bob puts the sounds on this.
Yeah, I know.
Machine
we need those fake.
It's
claps.
Thrilling to be back in your presence and with this show.
Nope, that's not it.
I was. It was a little look. I have the Facebook Live feed on my phone there, which is delayed, kind of like, you know, in case you swear.
Well, it's a two-hour delay, so it's okay.
Yeah.
So how are you doing? What's going on?
Nothing. Manhattanville is still going strong. It is now Manhattanville University.
Oh, that's congratulations on that. That's
we
cool.
We have a new president whom you
yep.
met. I like him. He's a former wrestler. I think he gets what we're trying to do. It is going to be a long road back for us, but we'll see what happens.
You know, I think we should have him on the Clubhouse.
I definitely agree with that. I think we should do that.
And Rob, what's going on with you?
Rob's
How's Sean?
The...
How's everybody?
Sean is doing well. He says to say hello to everyone. He was going to be here, and he said he and I both worked at the Renegades this morning, and, you know, world-renowned cameraman that he is, he said, Dad, I'm going to go home. Say hi to the guys for me. I'll see him soon.
No, it's fair.
So he will be here. He will be here very soon. And yeah, he's doing well. Life is, you know, life is life. We're looking for a new place to hang our hat eventually, and we'll be okay.
Yeah,
all as well.
Yeah.
All right. So I understand we have our we already have our first guest.
I mean, we're on fire
there
already. The producers have outdone themselves.
Oh, my gosh. Without further ado, it is with great pleasure to welcome our new partner, the Metropolitan Section, PGA of America, and our guests, Mike Ballo Jr., the head professional at Tamarack Country Club, and Chris Gabriel, PGA lead assistant golf professional at Quaker Ridge Golf Club. Welcome to the Clubhouse.
Woo!
Awesome.
Gentlemen, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
Guys, really appreciate it.
So
no,
you guys,
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So you guys are in Frisco. Preparing for the PGA Professional Championship, which starts on Sunday. How's the preparations going?
Well, we just landed in Dallas. We just left today. So the practice rounds and all that stuff will start tomorrow, but we're both very excited to be here. It's actually my first one I'm allowed to play in. Chris, I think it's your second, but it's always an amazing opportunity to national title and with a chance to play in it. So we're both very excited.
So
yeah, I couldn't agree more. This is my second time doing this here, and it's an unbelievable experience. I'm really glad to be down in Texas to compete against the best PGA professionals in the country.
So the top 20 finishers, if I'm right, advance to the PGA Championship May 13th to the 19th. Is that right?
Correct.
That's pretty cool, guys. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be a dream come true. Mike would say the same thing.
All right, so besides being, and by the way, we'll be rooting for you, the Clubhouse now, once you're on the Clubhouse, you're always on the Clubhouse, and we brought Rob LeBritt some luck many years ago, so we're hoping you guys do really well and we can catch you in the PGA Championship in May. But I want to turn things for a second to a little bit about the Met PGA. Tell us, you know, what's going on there in the organization.
Yeah, no, so I'll chime in on the Met PGA. We're very partner with the Clubhouse. We obviously consider ourselves to be the best in the country. We are trying our best to start every year between you know, having the best club pros in the world, some of the best facilities in the world, and, you know, a great foundation that gives back to the best possible. And with, you know, strong community outreach and just, you know, the best golf services that, that we can offer to the area.
Well, that's very cool. So tell the audience a little bit about, you know, I know, I also understand that there's a, the Met PGA section has a foundation. What is, tell us a little bit about the mission there, because I know you, you deal with junior golfers and veterans.
Yeah, we have Hope, and which we get veterans to get out and play golf at private facilities and offer clinics and tournaments and fundraising. And then we have arguably one of the most successful junior golf tours in the country, that, run by Dan Frankel, and he does an amazing job. It's a full schedule, and it's just, in terms of offering opportunity to people getting involved in golf, we are year in, year out trying to give a better and bigger opportunity, and we seem to be doing a pretty good job of it recently. It's very exciting for this section.
Yeah, in fact, we've got opening weekend for their junior golfers on the Future Series Tour being hosted at Eisenhower Park. So I remember playing in those about 10, 12 years ago, so it's great to see these kids getting the same opportunity that I did, and it's really exciting for them.
Yeah, that's really important, guys. Dave Taromeo here. We have one of our graduates from the sport management program at Manhattanville University is Kelly Clayton. She's tremendous. So tell us just how many of these sections or chapters, as I call them, are there nationwide of the PGA?
So there's 41 sections in the PGA America. Some sections have are split into chapters. I guess technically we have a couple. We have Westchester and Connecticut, and the other side being Long Island.
Very good. Thank you. It's very important that you guys are growing the game this way.
Okay, so let me ask a quick question. I want to because not only are you members, and you also have jobs at the Met PGA. So tell us a little bit about like what your positions are at the Met PGA.
Yeah, so me personally, I'm on the board of directors. Previously part of the assistance board, which Chris is a part of, and a big, huge part of the assistance association. Our president is a guy named Stu Walk. He's doing an amazing job. And the goal of the board and the board of directors is to do our absolute best, make the best decisions we can for the section as a whole, and move our section into the future the best way we can.
Very cool. So where can, all right, I was going to go some golf tips, but I know you guys got to get going, get rested for your big day, and we're so excited to have you, and we'll have you on every one of our shows, somebody from the Met PGA, and, you know, and if you're ever in the Mount Kisco area, which I'm sure you are, we are here at the Hub, and, you know, Rob's favorite place in the world.
Hotel MTK.
MTK, so we'd love to have you come down here and join us for our clubhouse. But where can our audience learn more about the Met PGA Foundation?
If you go right on our website, the Met PGA, met.pga.com, you can learn a lot about our, including the foundation.
You go onto the website or reach out to Kelly Clayton, who is obviously an absolute all-star. She's been doing an amazing job. We are always looking to partner with new people and new companies. To, again, I mean, I feel like I'm echoing myself, but bringing more opportunities to more people as broad as a spectrum as humanly possible.
Echo away, because it's good to keep the message going. So that's actually good to keep repeating it.
All right, Chris,
it's
and
great.
Mike.
Kelly, Lozen.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just want to say Kelly's been absolutely amazing on the foundation. Jeff Fortes as our executive director. He's done a great job. And the section as a whole, just we love the foundation and volunteering our time and doing everything we can to make sure that you know, all of the pillars of the section are run as well as it possibly can.
All right. Thank you, guys. And by the way, good luck this weekend. We're going to be rooting for you guys. And bring us home a PGA Championship. Let's go. Thank you so much for joining us on the Clubhouse.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having us.
And Mark says he wants to take a break on that note. Do you want to, or that too? Oh, okay. Mark. We're going to, make an audible here, and I'm going to tell you about Splash in Bedford Hills, which is proud to be entering its 30th year of serving the Bedford Hills community. I mean, 30 years, that's like the length of this show, basically, except we're, you know, 20 plus, but we're
much younger than that.
I don't disagree. We offer a complete range of services for the maintenance of your car, including full service hand washing, washing your car using thick foaming soap and lamb's wool mitts. We vacuum the interior, wipe down the dash and door jams, all in less than 15 minutes with no appointment needed.
Because
Dave Taromio is a very busy man.
I know.
He has
no time
for appointments. Or opt for the super fast exterior express wash. You're in and out in no time. Plus, you can use our free self-service vacuums when you get a wash. And there's our full service oil change, which includes a 21 point inspection and a free car wash. We have all sorts of detailing services available while you wait all the way to our 5-star complete detail. What could be more convenient? Your car deserves a better car wash and oil change. Splash, located at 570 North Bedford Road in Bedford Hills. We'll get better with the read as we go along, but we always like to say
splash.
Splash. Splash. Take two. Even better. We'll take a break on that note. We'll come back with more from Mount Kisco after this on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
The Beatles. No band has had a greater impact on music and pop culture. Hi, this is Rob Adams. Please join me Sunday mornings at 9 as we meet the Beatles. The music of John, Paul, George, and Ringo will be examined as a band and as solo artists. We'll also review their influences and the impact they had on the world. So join me for Meet the Beatles with Rob Adams, Sunday mornings at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. All right, back with you on the Clubhouse as we adjust on the fly. You know how this works, Mark.
I know. It's live radio.
It is live radio. You take it from here.
But I will say.
Yes.
You know, even though they were in a conference call from Frisco, they were good. All right, so it is my great pleasure to introduce my favorite all-time tight end, former New York Giants Super Bowl champion, and current Giants radio broadcaster, Mr. Howard Cross. Welcome back to the Clubhouse, Howard.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just getting out of work.
All right. So before we get into the whole, I want to talk about draft, and I've got a Pittsburgh Steeler guy on the right of me, and I got a New York Jets guy on the left of me, and, of course, I'm a Giants fan.
Stuck in the middle.
But how's your family? Your son, Howard, is still returning to Notre Dame this fall, and how's everybody with the family?
Everybody's good. My son's going back to Notre Dame. He's getting his master's in business, as well as getting ready to have his final season. So that's exciting for him, and he's doing good in class. And his sister, his twin, is down in Miami working for a hedge fund.
So life's good. Howard, you can retire soon.
Life is good.
All right, let's get into it. Taking the Giants' free agency pickups this offseason, What are you thinking about tomorrow at pick number six? What are their needs? What are your thoughts? And then we may have to go by, you know, different positions, but what do you think?
Yeah, they're probably going to wind up taking a wide receiver. I'm thinking Malik Nabers out of LSU or Nduze out of Washington. I mean, I don't think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to fall that low.
So no offensive line guys. You were thinking we're going to go. You know, that's everything. A lot of the mock drafts are saying wide receiver, but no offensive line in the first pick. We're going to wait till later.
No, I think that they picked up two or three guys that, you know, two or three guards, interior guys that can play. And then they picked up one guy that's a guard / right tackle.
All right, so what about this continuing rumor that I'm hearing either on other sports radio shows or that they would trade down to pick up a quarterback? Your thoughts on that?
Trade down or trade up?
I'm sorry, trade up.
I think that, like, the only way that that happens is that is, like, Drake May or the kid from LSU kind of fall a little lower than someone thought. Then there might be an interest, like, you move from 6 to 5 or something like that. That might be feasible, but they don't have a lot of draft picks.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm sitting next to Dave Trome, he's curious about your thoughts on the Jets pick. And Dave, I'll let you
Listen, Howard, it's great to talk to you again. And I know Mark, you know, he says you're his favorite tight end, but he's always talking about Bavaro and Shockey, so I don't want to
no, that's not true.
I don't want to throw him under the bus, but
wow.
He's lying, Howard, I'm telling you right now. Ask my wife.
I am lying. I am. It is a lie. So
that's
anyway, but, so with the Jets, obviously, you know, a tie, number 10 pick, you know, some need, offensive line need, some wide receiver need. You know, these mock drafts just drive me nuts. There's so many people. Everybody's got an opinion, but I am interested in your opinion. What do you think? Where do you think the Jets go with that 10th pick? Or do they trade up, down? I mean, because they do have some offensive line needs as well.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple of really nice tackles you can get. I think a kid out of Oregon, a kid out of Alabama.
Yep.
I think a kid out of, like, Washington State.
Yep.
All three guys can come in right away and play for you, even though, quote unquote, you got some of the guys off the old age heap to play tackle. Guys have been injured, you know, as recent as last year. They're all 30 plus. So you need depth. Now, I know that's not the sexy pick, but that's the pick they should go with.
I agree.
Chances are, knowing the Jets, they'll probably take Brock Bowers out of Georgia. If you take Brock, Brock is an exceptional player, not a good player, an exceptional player. Problem is that he's not going to be blocking anybody coming off the edge.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got a 40-year-old quarterback, and not to be putting bad things out in space or anything, but you got a 40-year-old quarterback who had a different kind of procedure done to repair his Achilles.
Yeah.
So, in theory, he was better to come back if you really need him at the end of the season. I think he's going to really test that now because I don't really think it takes a long time to do your Achilles, and we don't heal faster when we get older. We heal slower. I don't care how many mushrooms he does and
yeah.
How dark the room he sits in.
I hear you.
Or how the Dolphins are talking to him.
I do love that, by the way, Howard. Go ahead, David.
I was going to say, if you really know the Jets, they're going to take a Division II quarterback out of Cal Davis, only Cal Poly, Cal something. But no, go ahead, Rob.
Howard, it's.
I mean, if they had to, they could take you know, and I know they won't do it because he'll probably have a fit. They could take Bo Nix.
I like Bo Nix.
You know,
or
they could take the kid out of Washington.
Penix,
both those guys got live arms,
yeah.
And they can play. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they want to wait a little bit, there's a kid from South Carolina, Rattler.
Yeah,
they have a kid, and I can't believe no one's really talking about the guy from. Florida State, the quarterback, the guy that got hurt, he was in the Heisman race.
Yep.
And everybody's kind of like, yeah, he's an afterthought. I'm like, somebody's going to get him, and he's going to, like, scare the starting quarterback to death.
Howard, it's Rob Adams. And despite everything that Mark says about you, I was always a big Howard Cross guy because, you know, you went into the media like me. So I have all the respect in the world for that. In all seriousness, the Steelers at 20, I'm the Steelers guy. What are they doing at number 20? Do you have a feeling?
I got like they're going to probably try to pick up one of those cornerbacks that's going to be floating around down there, maybe Kool-Aid McKinstry or somebody like that. I think that that's probably one of the guys that I'll be looking at. There's also going to be a great value at that pick when you're down around 20. They have their quarterback right now, so they're you know, they got a backup quarterback that they think is going to work. They got pretty good receivers. They got some decent O-linemen, but they need, like, a really standout cornerback to kind of, you know, if Watt doesn't get there, they need somebody back there to slow it down.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to touch base before we ask more questions on the draft is tell our audience, because you know you are a great team in the radio world. Bob Papa, Carl Banks, and you on the sidelines, your view is so close to the action. Tell us about this great radio team. That's, you know, you'll be up in business sooner than you know it, Howard.
Yeah, we got, you know, Bob Papa's like it's basically the voice of the Giants. He does every broadcast, every, you know, show, internet, anything, Bob's on it. Bob's like you know, a legendary Giants fan, Fordham guy, got a great voice. He's done everything from HBO boxing to Champion League golf. So he's like a workaholic. He uses that raspy voice of his to call a lot of games, and he's extraordinarily fair. He's not like a he's not a homer, let's put it like that. But if things aren't going well, he says it on the air, and it's not an assault on anybody's character. He just tells it like it is. Carl Banks probably should be in the Hall of Fame because he was like that kind of a player, just a phenomenal athlete, a big guy, and one of the smartest people that you'll meet, you know, with him bringing back the brand of Starter and all these other things in the clothing industry. Carl's like a really, I'm assuming Michigan State must be a really good school because he is super smart, and I, you know, appreciate just being around him, not just in football, but just in life. He's, you know, really great guy, really great outlook on the game. Again, he and Bob do a good job of, you know, calling right down the middle. That's why when the NFL Network shows the game, they usually run their broadcast because they do such a great job with it.
Well, Howard, I can't thank you enough. Is there any projects that you're working on that our audience would like to know about? Because we really, as always, enjoy having you on the show. Is there anything that we need to promote for you or anything on the Giants side that because you've been so wonderful to us?
No, I'm doing pretty good. If you want to do anything, you know, I'm a big Bama guy, Bama through and through. But keep a lookout for number 5-6 on Notre Dame. Playing a nose tackle. He might set some records this year.
Oh, we're rooting for him from day one. You know that. Howard Cross, thank you so much for joining us, man, on the clubhouse. Take care. All the best.
Thank you, Howard.
Have a great one, guys.
You too, Howard. Thank you very much. 7:25 here on the clubhouse. We're going to take a break from Mount Kisco. We are at Hotel MTK. We're in the hub. Come on out and say hello.
Come on out and say hello.
Grab a drink with us, and we'll take a break, and we'll come right back after this. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
Big Tobacco's customers are dying. Big Tobacco's customers are dying. But instead of pulling their products off shelves, they're using menthol flavors to recruit a new generation of smokers. Menthol makes products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier for us to start and harder for us to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for tobacco companies to attract and addict us. And there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
For 2 hours, every Thursday night at 6, listen in and even converse with the man in the know regarding all matters Greenwich. Listen to Sam Romeo's show, Greenwich Matters, brought to you by Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way. And by Finocchio Brothers, we knows our business. From the beach to the backcountry, education, recreation, or politics, Greenwich Matters every Thursday night at 6 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
We're We're back in Mount Kisco at 727. Sam Romeo's daughter, Lindsay, just had a birthday the other day. And you know whose birthday it is today? She would have been 87, a big fan of this very program. Your mom.
Oh,
yeah.
Happy birthday in heaven.
Happy birthday.
My mom's birthday was yesterday. It's funny.
Nope, there you go.
So close, yeah.
Happy birthday, yeah.
And Sarah's birthday was 2 days ago as well.
St. Sarah Jeffers, that is correct.
There you go.
I hear it's your birthday.
All right, I understand. Yes. From our producer.
Yes, Sean Kilkelly doing a marvelous job.
Wonderful. It is a distinct honor to welcome sports radio personality and WFAN host of Evan and Tiki, Mr. Evan Roberts, who has written a new book, My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball random. Evan, welcome to the clubhouse.
I am honored to be here. I still can't believe I wrote a book.
We're having a pre-production meeting, Evan, and we're like, we're going to talk about his radio personality. No, we're not. We're talking about his book. So,
yes.
So even though I am on the opposite sports side, although my partner Dave is on your side, of all your teams, Yankees, Giants, Knicks, Rangers, I really did enjoy their book. The stories attached to the actual scorecards were funny and at times sad. And I must say, Evan, you keep a good scorecard.
Ah. Do you use an eraser? That's the nicest compliment someone can give me. I keep a nice, neat, tidy scorecard. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right. So, Evan, what motivated you to write this book?
You know, I have been scoring games since I was a child, and I never knew what the heck I was going to do with it. You know, sometimes I look back at games, and certainly being on the radio, it helps me. Like if we're talking about a game that I had scored the night before, so I can't say it's been completely useless. But, you know, maybe occasionally I'd look back at a classic game. And I always thought, you know, maybe my kids will look at it. And I do have kids, and they glance at it occasionally. But the idea came, and I give my ex-partner, Craig Carton, a lot of credit. He brought it up. You should publish some of your favorite scorecards. And once he said that, my first question was, would anybody buy that? First of all, would a publishing company publish that? And I found out, wow, there actually is some interest. So I picked 81 of my most memorable Met games that I scored. Memorable, not wins. Memorable. And then, like you mentioned, I wrote about it because I have a memory for a lot of these games, especially the games that are memorable, where I remember things that happened in my life, what I was thinking going into the game. So it became a cathartic exercise to pick out and then go through 81 memorable New York Mets games from the last 30-plus years.
Evan, it's Rob Adams, and I want Dave Taromeo's here. He's the Mets fan on this panel. I want him to focus on the good. So I'm going to ask you, what's the toughest? What was the most painful one that you shared?
You know, it's funny. I think for a lot of sports fans, it's usually when you're a kid. Like, the losses hurt more as a kid. I've realized through this exercise that it's the opposite. It actually hurts more as I've gotten older, because as I've gotten older, I've realized, wow, I may die without seeing a championship. Like, you get closer to the end. So, honestly, to answer that, the game that really jumps out at me that was very difficult to write about and talk about was Game 1 of the 2015 World Series.
Interesting.
Because we're in the World Series. Everything felt so magical. It felt like this was the year. And what really kills me, and I write about it in the book, is that feeling I had when J-Riz Familia gave up the game-tying home run, and it felt like deja vu from 2000 all over again. And I just knew. Like, I knew the reality. We weren't winning that series. Like, I knew it deep in my stomach. So even though I was a grown man who was married, about to have kids, I didn't have a kid yet. I was on my way to having a kid. It hurt more. So I would probably say the losses in 2015 specifically, that first game was just so freaking brutal. Even talking about it right now gives me great pain in my abdomen.
Interesting.
whatever it's called.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, when you're a Mets fan, you have a lot of those pains, Evan. Dave Taromeo here, and I will just disagree with Mark on one thing. He said, I am a Mets, Jets, Islanders, and Knicks fan. I was a Nets fan before you were born, when they were in the ABA with Dr. J and Kevin Keene and all those guys. But so the question is, I mean, is this a dying, score? Do you see anybody else doing this still at the ballpark? And tell us maybe the greatest games.
Yeah, believe it or not, and maybe it's, you know, me looking for it. Sometimes you look for things and your brain plays tricks on you. I feel like I see more people score games in a scorecard than ever before. And it's always something I think I noticed because I've scored games my entire life. But I look around ballparks, and I go to a lot of games still, and I see people scoring. And it's awesome. And you would think that that would go away, especially because you could do it on iPads now, which, by the way, I'll never do. I'll never score.
I've tried it. Good, don't love
good
it.
Good for you, Evan. I love that.
Don't love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably like you're not user-friendly or as user-friendly as just writing something down. But I like writing something down. Because you know what the truth is, man? I was thinking about this the other day, and I think about this when seasons start. I never write anything. Like, we don't even write checks anymore
for
the moment.
That is
true. So when I whipped out my scorebook for the first time, like this past year, my hand started to hurt. It was almost like I needed a spring training to start writing again because we never write. But to answer your question, I don't think it's dying. I think it's going the other way.
Good.
I think that as more kids get into baseball, especially with the faster pace that we now have with the pitch clock, I think scoring is a great technique to teach them the game. I've noticed that my oldest son has learned baseball more when I was teaching him how to score because your brain just like picks up more on what's going on. It's easy to be distracted when you're at a ballpark, and when you're scoring, it kind of helps you keep your concentration. So I think there's a renaissance of scorecarding.
That's great.
Interesting. And the last thing for me, Evan, is you should tell your partner Tiki, I'm partially responsible for his post-athletic career, because when I was the vice president of the Football Foundation, I chose him as our, and you can ask him this, as he was a scholar athlete for the Football Foundation and came to New York, and I chose him to be, they have one of these 18 students respond on behalf of the group. And so I think I gave him his public speaking opportunity, but not true. I mean, that's true.
Look
but,
at that. Yeah. You but started it all.
I got him talking. So there you go.
All right. So, Evan, just so you know, I have three daughters, and I've taught them all to keep score. And whenever we go to a Yankee game, I know, but we go to a Yankee game, I'll keep score with them. And then, I'll, you know, if I have to use the restroom, they take the book over and take care of it for me. So it still is alive. But
nice.
Tell us a little bit about the greatest game. All right, we looked at the bad games. What were some of the best games that you scored?
Yeah, I think, so there's a few that jump out at me. As a kid, being in the ballpark for the Robin Ventura Grand Slam single still gives me
good
chills
choice.
To think about.
Yeah.
It was such a crazy game, and obviously the desperation that we felt of trying to not see the Atlanta Braves celebrate in our building, even if we didn't think we were going to come back and win game 6 or 7 in Atlanta. I think that was just pound for pound one of the greatest games I ever witnessed. And I mentioned it in the book, I shut the book when Todd Pratt was up it was right after he walked, because I told my dad, A, it was raining. I mean, it was pouring,
right,
and my book could not take any more of the water. And then B, I knew I was going to remember whatever happened in that at-bat. You know, and to this day, I know exactly what it was. Kevin McGlinchey fell behind 2-0. Robin Ventura jumped on a fastball right down the middle. The rest is history. And, you know, it's funny to think about it because it's not really a Grand Slam. It's a Grand Slam single. But I think that game lives with me forever. And the other one's the Johan no-hitter. You know,
yeah.
The no-hitter
was
always the holy grail for us as Met fans. Like, seeing a guy pitch a no-hitter seemed like it was never going to happen. And at that point in my life, I'm at a lot of games. I'm not at every game. I was lucky enough to be at that game that night. And it was just, everything about it was surreal. You know, just the idea that we were going to witness a Met pitch a no-hitter. And I know people like to poo-poo it. Oh, there was a missed call. You know, whatever. Shut up. There's missed calls.
Missed calls happen.
Exactly.
They happen.
Philadelphia 76ers. It happens. So I think the Johan no-hitter jumps out at me, too. It's such a great moment as a Met fan.
All right. So you're right about 14 Met, because you have two Yankees on the panel here and one Met fan. So you write about 14 Met Yankee games. Which one stands out to you?
Well, unfortunately.
Oh, boy.
Evan, I'm just asking the question, man. Come on. I'm just asking.
Why do I think Luis Castillo's about to come up?
Hold on.
You know, it's amazing. They all kind of live in my soul, like, forever, the good and the bad. There's not a lot of good. There's some good. The first ever game, Matt Franco and all that. But the bad just lives with me forever. And it's really the World Series and every moment of that World Series. I included every Subway Series, World Series game in this book because I felt like, how can I leave anything out? So from the brutality of losing game one the way they did, which still haunts me, Armando Benitez and Paul O'Neill. And you know what's funny? That haunts me more than Timo Perez. Everybody talks about Timo Perez.
Yeah.
And I'm
not
like,
running.
It's bad, don't get me wrong, but Paul O'Neill versus Armando Benitez, that at-bat, that's the at-bat at which we knew. I mean, Paul O'Neill drew a walk. I freaking knew exactly what was going on. And then Jose Vizcaino at the end of all that to game two with Roger Clemens, that steroided up freak throwing a bat at my player, to the first pitch Derek Jeter in game four, to obviously the Luis Soho game in game five. Like, it all mixes together, but losing the World Series to the Yankees was as bad as it gets. It's just, that will live deep in our soul forever. And yeah, you got bad regular season moments. You guys mentioned Luis Castillo. That was bad. But it's the World Series, man.
Yeah.
It's all about the World Series.
All right, so I did my research. 90 stories, but you cut it to 81. How did you do the cut?
It was very tough, and I'm actually regretting it because I was doing a book tour a few weeks ago, and someone asked me about, I think, like, meeting my wife or, you know, dating my wife. And one of the games I had to cut out was when I took my wife on our third date, and she...
Evan?
She what?
Evan?
Something happened.
Anyone?
Well, the mystery of what she
did. Oh, he's gone, Sean? Yeah, okay, we lost him. We'll stay here for a moment at 7:38. We lost him. We'll see if we can get him back. Look, I know he's ragging on Clemens and the Yankees a little bit, but he's been great. He's telling some great stories.
I know. I'm so excited to share these stories with my family because it's cool. There's some fun stuff.
I love scorekeeping.
Yeah, no.
I miss those days of I used to walk into Yankee Stadium with a backpack every game, and included in that was a scorecard every night.
A scorecard, yeah. You get the program and the score, and we would keep score.
I'd have all of Section 5, because that's where I sat night after night. All of Section 5 would look for a ruling as I'm sitting there keeping score every game. It was crazy.
He's back, guys. Oh, Evan's back.
Okay, very good. Right. Evan's back with us. Go ahead,
Mark. Sorry, Evan. So you got cut off just saying the cut. So so go ahead.
Day three at Yankees. Day three with your wife. Go ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was one of the games that I included, and then I cut it. I don't know why. It was very difficult to get to 81, so I created the 90, and there were a few other games that I had in there that I don't even know how I decided it, to be honest with you, but I had to cut it to 81, or else the book could have gone forever. I mean, because to me, there's so many memorable games, not just the games, but the moments. You know, that game with my wife, who I, you know, eventually married, it was a regular season game against the Braves on a Sunday afternoon in 2014. You know what I mean? Like, it was random. So it was tough to cut it down. It's like picking between your children, and I was somehow able to get to the 81.
Well, it's smart to keep your wife because, you know what, Mother's Day is right around the corner.
There you go.
You know, it could be a great book for mothers as well.
Yeah.
But where can our audience get a copy of this fun read?
I appreciate it. Amazon is available. Go to Amazon, My Mets Bible. It's in your local bookstore, Barnes & Nobles. But Amazon's a nice, easy way to get it because there's an audiobook coming out in 3 weeks, believe it or not. I voiced the whole thing. So if you're lazy and you don't want to read, you can always order the audiobook.
And
there you go, Mark.
I'm going to ask one more thing. What was it like doing sports with Don Imus?
Oh, nice.
I barely remember it because I was 8 years old or 7 years old, whatever I was.
I wasn't born yet,
What I do remember is he was an intimidating guy.
Yes.
He was very intimidating, but I appreciate that I was able to be on that show and was able to begin my WFA in history at a very young age. He's a controversial figure, but he's a radio legend, and the radio station doesn't get to where it's at now without him.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said.
Well, Evan Roberts, thank you so much for joining us on the Clubhouse. My Mets Bible, scoring 30 years of baseball fandom, is available at all your local and or national outlets. Evan, thanks again for joining us on the Clubhouse.
Thanks, Evan.
Thank you for having me on. Let's go Mets, baby.
All right, baby.
7:41 here on the Clubhouse, sir. Are we good on breaks, or you want one more?
We'll take one more break.
We'll take one more break, because that's what the man says, and he's the boss. We'll take a break. 7:42 almost on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. That's what the tobacco industry said about us. But what does it say about them? That they'll do anything to recruit new smokers. Like using menthol flavors to make products smoother and better tasting, so they're easier to start and harder to quit. In other words, menthol is not just a flavor. It's a way for big tobacco to attract and addict us.
and there's nothing just about it. Take action at notjustmenthol.org.
Brought to you by Power Against Tobacco.
Everything but politics. That's what my show is about. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. What am I about? I'm about resilience. I'm about attitude, a lot of heart, and definitely a sense of humor. And I've heard that people feel better after listening to my show. I always look for the light in the dark, and I give you hope everything's going to be okay in your day. Delusionally young, outrageously fun. I book dynamic, upbeat guests. Check it out. 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on AM 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
All right. If people are new to the show, they need to understand this is a very important time of the show. And the band is kind of filing in here. So I didn't know if I need to strike them up yet.
Well, you know what? Sean is actually one of the conductors, if not the conductor.
Sean is, although I can conduct tonight.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Right. You so as long as somebody's conducting.
I'm conducting. You ready?
But yes, and then we have to recap many other things. But yes, let's hear the band.
Let's go. Dun, 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 dun.
The Clubhouse Report with your host, Mark Jeffers.
Band sounded good tonight.
They're in excellent form.
Hold on. Is that a new opening where they say, and that who thing? I must have forgotten that.
You must have forgotten about that one. I could play a different version.
Oh, no, please
okay.
Don't.
All right.
All right. Let's see. In the NBA playoffs, the New York Knicks are up 2-0 against the Philadelphia 76ers with Game 3 set for tomorrow night in Philly with a 7:30 tip-off. Even with star Jalen Brunson struggling a bit, the team has really rallied around him. And that Game 2 finish, Rob, it was simply spectacular. Your thoughts?
It was insane. One of the great Nick nights. Look, you still got to go on and win. Otherwise, it just becomes a little footnote. But wow, was that. I mean, it was remarkable.
Frantic.
Yeah. Frantic is a perfect word for it. And I'm actually trying to cue something up here to play for you guys because I just thought it was wonderful in every way that the Knicks needed to be the other night. And a tremendous one. I mean, the Sixers came back and left the Knicks really potentially for dead.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, back come the Knicks with this just insane flourish at the very end. With a crazy 8-0 run. And I'm really trying hard to cue this up here. So just bear with me and stretch for an extra moment. Because the finish right down to the very end. But
right,
this,
you work on that, and Dave and I will talk about the game while you're working on that.
Believe me, I've got it right here. Mike Breen on the call.
Two-point game. Whoa. Ball knocked loose, and Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang!
You can't possibly call something better than that.
No, he's best. He's the best.
That was an incredible call. Incredible night. The Garden was crazy electric. Knicks got to go on and win the series.
How big is Hartenstein, though? I mean, all those guys, they play so hard. Listen, I've been on record as saying the NBA is unwatchable sometimes. This team has pulled me back in, and that's a good thing.
That's good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I really am. And I'm into this series, and I'm into this Knicks team. Can this be a 94 around this town? I think that's going too far. Because I don't think the Knicks are going to the finals, and I don't know what the Rangers are.
And OJ's dead, so I mean, sorry.
And OJ's. Yeah, OJ's not here anymore. Mark Jeffers continues.
You know, I'm going to finish off with, I came back to the Knicks because of my daughter Claire's boyfriend Steve, who brought me back 2 years ago, and now our neighbor, not our neighbor, but in Katona, Mitchell Robinson.
True.
He's been playing well. He's been playing in the backup role, I think, works. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Hartenstein, you are so right about him. Wow. Yeah.
Over on the ice. Yes. We're going to the ice.
Go to the ice.
Also in the Garden, though.
Also.
Well, for some of us, David. All right, over on the ice, in NHL Stanley Cup action, the New York Rangers have taken a 2-0 lead against the Washington Capitals with a hard-fought 4-3 victory last night. Game 3 is set for Friday in Washington with a 7 o'clock faceoff. Dave's New York Islanders look to get back in the series tomorrow night as they host the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 3 after dropping the first two games of the best of 7. Dave, I'm going to let you start with your thoughts on the Islanders.
I will say this, and we heard Evan talk about a heart-wrenching, you know, watching heart-wrenching games. That Islander loss, and we saw a lot of this during the regular season where they would go into the third period with a big lead. That has to be the most heart-wrenching, devastating loss I've seen a team take in the NHL playoffs in my life. I mean, you're up
in your life.
In your life.
Well, wow. I'll just share this one stat with you, and then you do the math, okay? The Islanders going into that game were 81-0.
Oof.
With a 3-goal lead in the playoffs. 81-0, and they lost this game. They lost this game, and it's devastating.
I will tell you this, and I've worked with this guy for enough years. The first guy I ever heard say the dreaded 3-goal lead to me is on the other side of this broadcast, yeah, Sean Kilkelly. Well, he has always said the dreaded 3-goal lead.
Especially the Islanders, because they can't hold the 3-goal lead. It's like disaster for them. So I think they're done. I think Carolina, they just don't match up with Carolina, nor do I think Washington matches up well with the Rangers.
I think the Islanders need a full year of Patrick Waugh.
Well, listen, they're going to be a very different team. There's going to be a lot of house cleaning after this year. You may not see Matt Martin. You may not see a lot of these guys because they need to get younger, fat. They know what they need to do. They've got good goaltending and they have good players, Barzal and stuff, but that loss to me just said, this is not the team. This team is not going to make a run. Yeah, that was devastating. But thank you for picking it up. Thank you, Mark, for pointing that out and pricking at my.
We had Evan on, so I wanted to give Islanders some time.
Yes.
All right, so Rob, Rangers, your thoughts. So is this going to be are we going to close this out soon so we can rest? Or what do you think?
What I took out of that is, Alexander Ovechkin looks defeated.
He looks old.
And he looks old, yeah. He looked done to me the other night. And I'm not saying his career is done by any stretch, but he did look old and he looked defeated, which tells me the Rangers are really taking it to the Capitals. And I didn't expect the Capitals to keep this series too close.
It's too fast for the Capitals.
I agree.
It's too fast
for the Capitals. And I think I think the Rangers just played really well last night. Now, Washington made it a close game, definitely.
Yeah.
But I was never nervous down the stretch of that game last night.
Well, I like that. And the game won.
Game
was unbelievable. Yeah, that was also a fun game.
Yep.
A lot of good series going on. Toronto, Boston, is a good series. You got Edmonton. But Carolina Rangers second round could be intriguing.
Very intriguing.
You know, Carolina's pretty good, and I'm not saying, but the Rangers are good too. The Rangers are damn good.
But you'll be rooting for the Rangers after the Islanders are out, right, Dave?
I don't know if I can root for anybody. I don't even.
We have clubhouse shows. Shows in May, David.
I gotta pick a West Coast team. I don't know.
All right. Let's turn to some Sandlot action, shall we?
Yes, sir.
The New York Mets had a late afternoon game today in San Fran against the Giants, and the Mets won 8-2.
Woo-hoo.
And
we're
going to talk about them in a second. But first,
over in the Bronx.
The New York Yankees held on last night to defeat the Oakland A's 4-3. The two play again at the stadium tonight at 7:05 first pitch. And I'm going to go to our live updater. Rob, do we have an updated score?
I will look into that right now. Fear not. And
but as you do that, so Dave.
Yes.
The Mets started off 0-5.
Yeah,
you were throwing things at me and stuff, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But now they've turned things around, and are you happy? What do we need to do with the Mets?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm happy. I mean, I think I'm impressed with the fact that they haven't folded up. But, you know, like we always say this every April. It's like it's April. Come on, relax. And the Mets perennially get off to a really good start and then fold. So maybe this is a better way. You know, you start 0-5. They're competing, but they're in a tough division. Atlanta's good. Philly's good. So we'll see.
You need
a score? I got a score for you.
No, I've got the score. I was going for a sounder, but I was trying to come up with a little fun here. But in any event, I have something. So we'll go to this. We'll play. No, we're not going to play that. How about this? There we go. We'll play the splash sound. Because Aaron Judge has splashed a fourth home run of the year. Juan Soto ahead of him, a two-run homer. Yankees lead 2-0 in the Bronx.
Yeah. So, actually, Judge is hitting and Soto's hitting. Well, my life is a little bit easier. And my wife, my lovely wife, Sarah, whose birthday, as we know, this could be a late birthday present for her because she loves the Yankees, and she yells at them when they don't hit.
That is very true. And I can add one more score to the Sandlot. as Bowling Green beat the Hudson Valley Renegades today 3-2 up in Wappingers Falls.
Bowling Green.
So what are you, all right, so since you, you know,
Bowling Green Hot Rods.
Tell us about the Renegades. Are they going to be a good team? I know they're, you know, they're feeding the system.
Yeah,
I understand
they're
that,
they're a little streaky right now. They've got some good starting pitching that I really like. There hasn't been, as Sarah Jeffers walks in right on cue. I mean, I knew I heard angels singing somewhere. I think they're a good team, Mark. I haven't quite figured out the personality yet.
All right. Okay. Now we're going to turn to, you know, Bob Small's not here, but his favorite sport. In MLS action, the New York Red Bulls are off to a good start with a 4-1-4 record and currently in second place, while NYFC is 3-4-2 and in eighth place in the East.
Asleep.
And on the women's side, in the NWSL, Gotham FC is 1-2-1 in early season action. All right, so now, turning to some, get your engines running.
Oh, yes.
Turning to some auto racing news, and Sarah will enjoy this. Max Verstappen won the F1 Chinese Grand Prix in dominant fashion for his fourth victory this season in five races.
She looks excited.
He never loses.
But never loses.
And on the NASCAR circuit, Tyler Reddick stole a victory from frontrunner Michael McDowell to get the checkered flag at the Talladega Super Speedway. Not to be confused with just a regular speedway.
He stole it.
And Scott Dixon picked up his 57th career victory at the IndyCar race in Long Beach, California.
Very nice.
So, you know, Bob Small's probably at home and listening to all those and applauding, I'm hoping.
I would think so.
All right. Over on the links.
There was the applause.
Thank you. Scotty Scheffler. You know, we're doing golf stories. You can't have to be golf claps.
Oh, you're right.
Not to be confused with
Sorry. My bad.
All right.
Scotty's on a roll.
Scotty Scheffler.
That was his
won another shot. Golf tournament. What else is new? Scheffler took home the RBC Heritage win after a weather delay, the fourth event he's won in his past five starts, with the lone non-win being a second-place finish. Scheffler is quite simply on another plane right now, and we are witnesses to pure dominance, the likes we have not seen in some time.
There is truth to that.
And then it's a Christmas story.
Is Santa Claus coming in?
I guess so. Scotty Scheffler playing on a different plane right now. Apparently Santa's plane, as a matter of fact. But the problem with him is he's not a personality guy, and it's not helping golf in that regard.
100% correct.
No, he's not, but he's a good guy.
I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I think he's a good guy. Absolutely. I went and watched the Masters with a good friend, and the minute I walked in, he went, it's going to be Scotty Scheffler, and the guy has no personality. Hmm. So take it for what it is.
Yeah.
Unlike us, he hits the ball straight, gets up, chips, and putts. Yeah.
And just plays
and
consistently. I went to a golf tournament while I was in Florida. I went to the Valspar down at Innisbrook.
Nice.
Had a great time. Saw Xander Schauffele play some good golf. It was fun to get out there.
There you go.
Have not been to one since the good old days of the Buick and whatnot down at Westchester. Memories for us, my friend.
Go. But also, now that we have the Met PGA with us, we'll have to go see some tournaments with them.
Let's go.
There you go.
I'm in.
Yeah.
All right. And speaking of dominance, this is where my Nelly Korda made golf history Sunday, winning her fifth straight LPGA event while simultaneously locking up the second major of her career by winning the 2024 Chevron Championship. So she is also in the world of, so you know, the three of us can no longer be in competition with either Korda or Scheffler.
Yeah.
Not that we ever were really in competition with
Not her. Quite. It's a little off.
All right. And that will wrap it up for this week's Clubhouse Report. Rob, back to you.
There you go. It's all happening.
I know.
It's all happening.
We got
7:56.
We've got everything.
We got a few minutes left. Vamp away.
Let's go. David, you have any vamping? When Dave saw the rundown sheet in the pre-production meeting, he goes, okay, so we're going to start off, you know, 7 o'clock open, Rob and I will banter, and then and introduce Dave, and then, you know, at 7:01, we're bringing in our first guest, and Dave's like, feels, I think, a little short-changed.
He felt a little left out.
So, Dave, now you have another 30 seconds to talk. So
well, thank you. All right. So, no, I think it's an interesting time of year, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, baseball season getting in full swing, NFL draft tomorrow, over the weekend. My son is actually going to Detroit, not for the draft, just to visit a friend, but the draft is in Detroit. So I think they might stop in there and check that out. That's kind of cool.
Interesting.
They've made that such a mega event now in the NFL, right? The NFL could do anything. The NFL could, you know, watch chickens, you know, whatever.
I mean, yeah.
And no question. And they make money. So, no, it's all interesting. It's a great time of year.
By the way, we're being watched in North Dakota. I just thought you guys would like to know that.
Ooh.
All right, so who do you think's in your Steeler world?
Yes.
We've talked to Howard about this, but what do you think?
He said a cornerback, and I think they're going to go offensive line because I don't think their offensive line is as good as Howard was making them out to be. And having talked to a former Steeler that I frequently get to talk to, and Mr. Terry Hanratty, he thinks the Steelers are going offensive line. I do. I think they're going to build up the line because Russell Wilson needs a wall in front of him. I mean, you know, he's 800 years old or whatever. He's 35, right?
He's almost as old as Dave's quarterback.
And by the way,
but not quite.
I don't think we want to talk about Dave's quarterback.
That's right. Well, I saw Terry today, and he was out at Notre Dame. He went out there for the spring game.
That's right.
And I had forgot that Howard's son was playing, or else I would have told him to say hello. But he likes their quarterbacks. They have a really weak schedule, though, this year. It's a terrible schedule.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's like the Army, Navy, nothing against those guys. We love those guys.
But sure.
Virginia. They open up at Texas.
Oh, that's right. They're playing Army at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
maybe the clubhouse does that.
I'm into going to that.
Terry will get us in.
I'm definitely into going to that. Yeah, I think the Steelers will go with the line. I do.
O-line.
All right, I want to make a quick thank you to the hub here at Hotel MTK, now known to be the center of all things social. Enjoy a refreshing cocktail, a local draft beer, tasty appetizers, which you've enjoyed earlier.
We have.
Salads, sandwiches, and the chef's nightly dinner specials.
And our new friend Lena.
In this innovative gathering spot. Lena, thank you so much for your wonderful help. And Rob, I'll throw it back to you, and we're done.
We are done. Show one in the books. We're back in a couple of weeks, and we will regroup right here, and we will get Bob Small back sitting alongside of us with Sean Kilkelly in the studio. Life will be so good. We thank our guests tonight. They were great. Howard Cross. We had the guys on from the Met section, PGA. We had Evan Roberts as well. All fantastic. We're off to a great start.
We'll see you in a few weeks.
See you in a few weeks. For Dave Taromio, Mark Jeffers, I'm Rob Adams saying good night from the clubhouse at Hotel MTK inside the hub in Mount Kisco, New York. See you in a few weeks. Thanks to Sean Kilkelly as well. For all of us from Mount Kisco, enjoy your night. I'll talk to you for Meet the Beatles on Sunday and for Doubleheader throughout the week and whatever game I'm doing. But for now, from Mount Kisco, good night, everyone.